Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson. And our show today is on the sound of love, the sound and frequencies of love. And our intention is to bring more love into your heart, actually more so to return to that pure love that we are. That's it. But before we get started, I want to tell you about the stuff happening at the school here. We've got, first we've got the open house and a free sound healing workshop on Sunday, December 7th from 1 to 6 p.m. We'll be going through the effects of sound on us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually with many heart-opening sound meditations. And it's really quite profound. Even if you're not interested in classes, just come for the experience. We'll be putting people onto sound chairs and sound tables and vibrating people into bliss throughout the day. And people normally get really high and peaceful and still and joyful and all types of things. So that's Sunday, December 7th, 1 to 6 p.m. Then we have our next semester starting for the Sound Healing Certificate and Associate Degree Program. Here at the Institute, it starts January 20th, and the certificate program is 3.5 months. The degree program is 1.25 years, and the certificate is the first semester of the degree program. And that's all about how sound affects us on all the different levels, and we've got 12 different instructors, so you get a wide perspective from everyone. Very profound program. We have the same program online starting January 6th, and that's 3 nights a week, Tuesday and Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. San Francisco time, and Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., also San Francisco time. And if you can't make the classes, you can always watch videos of the classes or do a combination as well. You can even do a combination where you do some of the classes here. We also have a summer intensive starting, I think it's June 8th or so, for 2 weeks, where you could come here and do half of the certificate and then do the rest online as well. So there's a lot of different options. We also have the audio recording classes, where we go into how sound affects you in a much deeper way while producing music in a program like Pro Tools or Logic or Ableton Live. So that's a whole separate program, which we have a whole certificate and associate degree program in that as well. It starts also here at the Institutes. It starts January 20th and starts online around January 6th as well. So if you're interested in any of those classes, you can check it out at soundhealingcenter.com. And just click on the classes, certificate programs, or degree programs. And then you can also email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call me at 415-777-2486, 415-777-2486. Of course, we have our Sound Healing store here as well with got over 100 crystal bowls, and all of it is online. We have tons of Tibetan bowls. We've got, oh my God, we've just got just about every sound healing instrument you could imagine here. And it's called the soundoflove.com, soundoflove.com. And you can find it at soundhealingcenter.com as well. We also have a wide range of sound healing treatments that we do, everything from voice analysis, to finding your soul frequency, doing voice healing on you. We've got a full range. You can find that at soundtherapycenter.com, soundtherapycenter.com. We're also selling sound chairs and sound tables and sound lounges, full range of different vibroacoustic tools. We have wands that are subwoofers that you can hold on any part of the body. We've got sandals that we're making that vibrate at the bottom of your feet because the bottom of your feet are one of the best portals for getting sound into your body. We've got, we're working on a vest that will have 9 speakers in it that vibrate all the different acupuncture points on your body. And a cap and mask that you can actually have vibrate different acupuncture points on your face. So you could do a EFT, emotional freedom technique, tapping with sound on your body and face with just frequencies, which is way more powerful than just tapping with your fingers. So a lot of interesting things you can find at the store at soundoflove.com. And we're also going to be selling chairs and lounges to various companies, including rehab centers and also like football teams even, and spas and gyms. And we're going to be looking for reps for that as well. If you might be interested, you can call me or email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. Okay. So a lot of things happening, but really the whole deal is to bring love along with it. You know, I just went to see Amma, you know, the hugger. Amma does, she's a professional hugger and is at the ashram here in the Bay Area. And I have really quite a profound experience. I've seen her quite a few times. And this time, you know, we were there. Actually, I had the whole class who actually went for a field trip. And we were there for quite a few hours where she was just hugging and the music was going. And at one point, I looked down. I was up in the balcony at the ashram, and I looked down. And there was this one older guy with a beard and mustache, and he had his hands over his face and was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing and for like 20 minutes. And then I turn around, and every fourth person that Amma would hug would be in complete tears. And after a while, I'm just sobbing myself for hours. And it's interesting. I started thinking about it. And, you know, there's three types of tears. There's tears we have when something really bad or sad happens. Someone dies, or we lose something, or we get hurt. There's those type of tears. And then there's joyful tears. We're just so happy we're crying. But these tears were neither of those. I guess you could say they're sad in that a lot of people, when their heart opens, they realize how sad it is that their heart has been closed for so long, or how little their heart is often open. So I guess there's some sadness to it. But watching all these people in tears for hours made me go into tears. But it wasn't a sadness. It wasn't a bummer. It wasn't bad tears. I mean, it was just this sweetness. And it's really an unusual set of tears, because there's so much love there. It was just interesting, I found, to be in this sweet, tearful state. And then the next morning I woke up and I was still very just crying and crying because of all the people. I guess it was just all the people that are just not loving. It's not really that. It's just kind of, I guess, the aspect of people opening their heart is just such a sweet thing. Having their heart open and then realizing how beautiful that is and how little our hearts are completely open. So that was really interesting. And I started thinking, we just did the Sound of Love class. It's actually a two-day workshop we do here every semester. And we did the first day was today, and tomorrow's the second day. And in the class, what I do is I ask people, okay, first of all, what does it mean to be loving? You know, in one respect, it's just a tone of voice. It's just an energy that comes through as a tone of voice. It's a sound. It's a sound. And I've talked to before about, you know, it can come through in the actual timbre or tone. 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 Instead of, it's more tone. The tone of your voice. The actual sound of your voice. But it also comes through in the music you sing. And I'm doing it now. The music you sing when you speak. You sing a certain music. We also often add more air to our voice, more air sound, more whisper. We add more air when we express love. But we also have a certain look in our eyes. We move a certain way, and we touch people in a different way when we're loving. Our actions also express our love. You know, with Amma, she showed this video of just tons and tons of things that she and her group, Ashram, are doing to help the planet. Thousands of houses that she's built. Like hundreds of millions of dollars she's raised for catastrophes, including tsunamis and earthquakes. And just all these actions of love. It's also the way, it's really the things, and it's, I guess just be actions also, the way we react to people, but also the things we do for people, which are actions, and how creative we are in those actions. You know, it's interesting. You can just do nothing and be present and be a beautiful person. As long as you're not in fear, anxiety, anger, or upset, it's really just fine just to be present in the world, witness, and not run any loving energy. Just be. That's beautiful. But it's above and beyond when you run this loving energy or action, where you actually go out of your way and expend energy to bring love and light to others or to help others. It's really interesting. It's a whole nother level. And that's what I think of as loving. So not being loving is not bad. Being present is cool, totally cool. I think you could even say being upset is cool. It's all cool. But loving has its little sweetness to it. So the question I ask in the class is, what percentage of the time are you loving? Being loving. You know, for the longest time, it took me, what I had to have to do is, instead of calculating the percentage of time that I'm loving, which it was more like, what percentage of time am I lost or in emotions that are not present or loving? What percentage time am I frustrated, you know, just thinking in stress, anxiety, fear, or upset? And then I started calculating, okay, the opposite of that. Then I realized the opposite could be times when I'm just present, and it seemed like, you know, I remember years ago, it's actually a pretty small percentage of time when I'm actually being loving compared to all the other times. Because often I'm just present, being not really upset or anything, just in the world present, which is beautiful, right? And then I was looking at Amma, and she seems to be loving all the time. Maybe not. I wonder if she's loving when she's going to the bathroom. Who knows? But I get the impression she is loving a huge amount of time. And then I think, okay, what stops us from being loving? First of all, it takes energy. But the cool thing is it brings you energy. As the Beatles say, the more you love, I forget the lyric, the more you love, the more you get received. The more love you give, the more you receive. I forget the lyric. You know the lyric. The more love we give, the more we are. The more we receive. And that's true, because all the love we give is for ourselves. Also. So, what stops us from being loving? Well, it's often just conditioning. It's not normal to be loving, especially in the city, walking down the street. If you're loving, you could not only have people following you around, but you could actually, you know, as a woman, you could get hurt. Also, I think sometimes we're not loving, people are not loving, because it might give the wrong impression, especially while doing business. Or you're being loving, and people, sometimes when you're loving, people think that you're interested in them. You're flirting. It's crazy, isn't it, that our society has got to that point where being loving is commonly interpreted as flirting. I've seen people when I first meet them that are extremely loving, and I've often thought, are they flirting with me? And then I get to know them and I realize that's the way they are all the time. They're not flirting. It's so crazy that our society, it's just, that's not the norm to be loving. Unless you're like at a festival or you've developed a whole group of friends, your whole tribe, where you're just loving all the time and you've returned to the natural way. Sometimes we're not loving as revenge. You didn't do the dishes? I'm upset with you. I'm not going to be loving until you do the dishes. Goodness gracious. It's so silly. The psychic once said to me, you know, there is no unconditional love in loving relationships, Dave. And I thought, what do you mean? They said, if you're not loving, if you stop loving someone, eventually they normally stop loving you and you break up. Often, we don't love because we're tired, or stressed, or hungry, or don't have enough sleep. We don't have our basic needs met. We're stressed. I know that's for me. I'm often not loving when I'm like really, especially if I'm sick. Someone's sick. It's hard to be loving when you're in pain. But it's not impossible. So let's go ahead and take a little break here, and let's listen to Sylvina and the Angels. And this is Pachelbel Canon, which is one of the main songs that opens people's heart. It's probably used in more weddings than any other song. And Sylvina is talking, singing on top of it. What's cool about this song is, you know, often love songs are sad. And Pachelbel Canon actually has some minor chords in it that are very sad. But when you take sadness to power, it's pure love. check out the power in this love.
Thank you. We are love. We are love. You are love.
As you probably figured out, it's not Pachelbel canon, but it's a perfect example still of sadness and using power, bringing power to it, and then bringing it back down to just the peace of it. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways of looking at love. You can look at the frequencies of love, and there's really no frequencies that anybody has proven are associated with love. Even the 528 hertz, Leonard Horowitz admits, is not, you know, has no research behind it. 432 hertz has nothing ever that's associated with love, although people use it for love all the time. And then different notes, you know, we say F is the heart chakra, but, you know, D is what people commonly go to when they express love in music. It varies. It's all over the place. Where people express love the most is with the musical interval of the third. It's like, and it's a sad musical interval. But what's interesting is if you go to the energy of love, there can be some sadness around it. And in fact, often think of sadness as a portal to love. And I think that's why a lot of songs are in minor keys and are quite sad, because they get you out of your head. Because once you get sad, you're in your emotional body. And that's where love lives, in the emotional body, not in the head. So I think it's appropriate that a lot of songs are sad, love songs are sad, because it helps you start feeling that energy again. And the energy of compassion and Kuan Yin often begins with sadness. You see the sadness of all the suffering on the planet, and then you lift it slightly to hold love for it. And so it's not this bummer sadness at all. It's a sweet sadness. It's like the sadness when you finish crying. You're not really joyful when you finish crying, but you're totally at peace. Really, totally at peace. Completely. A sweet sadness. Subtle sadness still there, but just perfect when you finish crying. But the pure essence of love has no sadness in it. When you're really in the essence of universal love, there's really, it's not about sadness. It's like this, it's pure light. It's very sweet. And so it's interesting that the portal to this light of love is often sadness. At Amma, there was some sadness around. And the sadness, I think, comes from, again, that sadness about how often we're not in a state of love. And when we go there, it feels so right. We know this is who we are. And it's like just crazy that we're not in that state all the time. It's just really sad that we're not in that state all the time when we finally access it again. But the essence of love is not sad. You know, if you ask, when I ask people to make the sound of love, the whole room will do a vowel sound. It'll go, and the energy doesn't feel sad at all. It feels very up and bright and happy and beautiful. So that sound also of love does not sound like a harp. A harp is like plucky. Harp is warm. But the reason I say harp is because the harp is what most people associate with love. Now, what's interesting is it is a warm sound, and that's why it's really perfect for love, because it's a very warm instead of edgy sound. But it's plucky. It's like blip, 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 right? Love is more like a sustained sound. It's like a vowel or like a string section, which is like, you know, sustained. Now, what is interesting about harp as far as love is the arpeggios, or arpeggiate, whatever they call them, where they strum the harp with both hands, and it's like, right. In fact, Joel Andrews, who channels angels, he says that when he does their arpeggios, that they actually that actually calls in the angels. So he starts every song with the arpeggios, with strumming of the harp, you know. And so that's interesting. That's kind of, it's kind of a sustained sound also, which would be the sustaining sound of love, because I think of love is not a plucky rhythm when it comes to the sound of it. It's also not a super high frequency, like, or a super low frequency. Aw. It's more, tends to be more in the mid-range. Let's play another song. This one is called Unconditional Love. It used to be called Divine Peace. We'll play the last half of it. And this one, the last half, we totally go into, when I was playing the song, it was totally in the essence of unconditional, universal love. So, open your heart and join in with this energy. Unconditional. Thank you. love is also associated with peace. Because when you get that frequency humming inside consistently, it's the most beautiful peace ever. Also associated with nature. Once again, the whole key is to return to this place that we are. We are this love. It's so interesting, after going to see Amma, I got this flash, this clarity of being complete love. Being loving all the time. And I realize that so many of us, including myself, have this belief that is really limiting belief underneath, that we're not love. We're this being that is filled with a wide range of emotions. We're a being that has ups and downs, has a body that will die, has even just consciousness that is a witness. But the truth is, we are this consciousness of love. And when we I know when I realized that, when I saw that, which I've been to quite a few times, but when I returned to that place where I was pure love, there is a bit of sadness that comes in of all the times when I'm not there. But it doesn't last long, as I just go back to that energy of pure love. So the key is to hold this energy of who we are, pure love, and be more loving. Up that percentage. Up that percentage of time that you're loving. In fact, a good thing to practice, you might practice tonight, is secretly love everybody and everything you come across. Tonight, hold love for everybody. You don't even have to let them know. Just hold love for everybody through the whole night tonight. No matter what you're talking about or doing, just hold that love energy. After you do it for a while, for even 10 minutes, you get in the zone where it's no work at all. And you just start doing it. And what's so cool, you do it enough, then you go, this is who I am. And then you just sink back into who you are. So try that for the night. Or try it for the whole week. Be in love for God, imagine months ahead. Oh my God. Years ahead. Oh my God. Lifetimes. Thanks for listening and take care.